Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Hello, and welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. I'm Judy Sedgman, and I'm speaking from wintry Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but fortunately, I'm here with my ray of sunshine in my life and my dear friend and my wonderful colleague and the brilliant therapist.
Christine Heath. Wow. Yeah. Ooh, I wish I could get that kind of introduction from everybody.
You should. Anyway. Oh, gosh. And we're always happy to bring you another week, and this time we're also responding to a question that was raised by one of the people that listens to our podcast, who wanted us to talk about why I can't find better friends, and which is a very common question that people have, especially women, who so often say, "Why is it I attract all these, you know, terrible men?" Or, you know, "Why is it that my girlfriends gossip about me? I never seem to have a really close friend I can trust." That kind of thing. And in my case, having worked in a women's resource center that specialized in offering counseling services to women in the community who otherwise had no way to get mental health service, we often had women who were single moms trying to raise kids and having trouble with it. And a very frequent question I would be asked is, "I keep telling my son he's hanging out with the wrong people. Why doesn't he have better friends?" Or, you know, "My daughter was a great girl until she started hanging around with that new neighbor. And she's in trouble all the time." And so we were thinking about that, and we thought, you know, it's so interesting that when our state of mind and our way of seeing life is invisible to us, that that's a factor in our life and that is changeable. We don't realize that sometimes we just are not drawn to people who would be so-called better friends. We're drawn to people who see the world a lot like we do. And, you know, I can speak to that because when I first got involved in the principles and I kept thinking, I really want to do this work. Oh my gosh, there's so many things in my life that I'd have to change. All of this. And I remember I was talking to Bill Pettit, who was my mentor at the time, is the only person I knew actually in my town who did the principles. And he said, "Well, I can tell you one thing, Judy. If you do commit yourself to this work, you'll make a lot of new friends. You'll probably lose a lot of your old friends. And it'll be an adventure. And you'll never make much money." which proved to be true. But I kept thinking, well, like, why would I lose a lot of my other friends? And then I found out. And here's what I found out. I found out that when my perspective on life became more optimistic and high-spirited and positive naturally, not that I had to pretend or work at it or try to be cheerful when I wasn't, but that I just saw life through kind of like I took my sunglasses off. You know, and suddenly everything was brighter, and a lot of my friends couldn't relate to me, and I couldn't relate to them. And I realized a lot of the people that I had been hanging out with were people who were just as anxious and stressed and worried about everything all the time and over-exhausted and, you know, overthinking everything as I had been. And as I changed, they just couldn't imagine people would say, "What's wrong with you? So different, you know, like, why aren't you tired?" Things like that. I remember I was having lunch one time with a colleague of mine who was also a business person. And she said to me, "I just don't understand." She said, "Did you have a facelift?" And I said, no, I haven't. I haven't had anything." And she said, "You just look so different." She said, "You don't have those bags under your eyes and you're smiling all the time. What's gotten into you?" And then she leans over the table and she says, "Have you taken a lover?" I was married at the time. I said, "No." not. And so she was looking for all these outside in reasons that I might have changed. And I was trying to explain to her, no, I just see things differently. She said, oh, come on. You know, you have the same problems you've always had. And I'm going like, yeah, I do. And I realized I really couldn't talk to her in a way that we used to talk, you know, because we used to just commiserate. And now since I had nothing to complain about, we didn't know how to talk to each other anymore. And, you know, we remained, you know, colleagues and friends. We run into each other, but that was the last lunch we ever had. And I thought, oh, so that's how it works. You know, as your state of mind changes and your outlook changes with it, because when we calm down and our thinking quiets down and we start to understand moods and the different, how different the world looks to us in different states of mind and how the change is internal and it's our thinking. When I didn't know that, I lived in a pretty negative state of mind most of the time because I was familiar with that and everybody else was there that I was associated with. And then all of a sudden I started meeting all these people like Chris and the principals, and they were like me, you know, like I was, well, they were actually even happier, but you know, they were looking at the world like, you know, gosh knows what we're going to see next. And it's so exciting to be learning this. And, you know, this whole enthusiasm about how the promise of the future, if we all could just see life differently and everything was, I don't remember not having fun with the people and the principals. Like if I'd go to a conference and we'd all hang out together, we never hung out and complained. Mm-hmm. We'd hang out and, you know, laugh and tell jokes and stories and, you know, it was fun. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, when I was working at this Women's Resource Center, when my clients started asking me, why can't my kids get better friends? You know, they were blaming their friendships for what was wrong with their kids. And I said, well, you know, I think if you stay here and we talk more, you'll start to see that when your kids could calm down and see life a little differently, a little more optimistically, a lot of the friends they have now will no longer make sense to them. But people are drawn to the people that kind of live at their level of understanding and see the world that they do, because people who are, like, if you're in a really low state of mind most of the time, people that are happy most of the time look stupid to you. You think, well, what the hell? They don't understand life at all. If they knew what I knew about life, they wouldn't be so silly. Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's what I used to think. I used to think that people that were happy were, irritating because it was kind of the hyper-happy people that I would notice. And anybody who was like not involved with politics or not involved with changing the world, not that didn't see the gravity of how women were treated, and that mm-hmm. they were like fluff heads, you know, like, why would I want to be friends with them? Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that happens when you're used to living at kind of a lower level of consciousness is that you really have no understanding of what it feels like to be out of that negativity. So it seems normal when you're with people that are also negative. Like most of my friends before I learned the principles were therapists. Mm-hmm. And we would get together every Thursday night. This woman named Marie, I love her dearly. I haven't seen her now since I changed, because everybody got freaked out that I had changed that much. Like they'd never seen a human being change that much unless they were involved in something like drugs or fell in love with a man or, you know, in some way got involved with a cult. And so that was the only way they could understand a significant change in me. And the idea that I was focused on the positive mm-hmm. was enough for them to get mad at me and kick me out of the supervision group I started. You know, I mean, I started it. There were all my friends in there. And to this day, there's another woman also got kicked out because she kind of, I went to her and I said, look, they found the cure to mental illness. And yeah. She's like, oh, I know what that is. She'd had her own personal experience with it. And so she got into teaching the principles. So we both got kicked out of the group. None of those people have talked to me since that day.
Huh.
But yeah. I was trying to like ease out slowly, and that wasn't the right thing to do. Right. So as you get into a better state of mind, you kind of look around at your world and it's not very inviting anymore to go get high. You know, I work with a lot of people that are addicted to alcohol and drugs, or they're living in a very, very low state of mind. And it, you know, one of the things in the 12-step program they'll tell you is don't hang around with people that are using, because, you know, it's too tempting. And but what happens that I see is the most effective is that people do that on their own as they get healthier. Mm-hmm. And trying to make it happen almost makes it more inviting. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I can't hang around with that person. He's a bad boy, mm-hmm. you know, or they're using or whatever. And so it gets on your mind. And then you're kind of drawn to that level of consciousness because it's, you're so familiar with it. It's where you've lived. And it's in order to like wake up, as you wake up and you start coming up to a higher level, it doesn't look like it's fun anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like sitting around talking about how hopeless clients are doesn't look like a good way to connect to me anymore. It just, it's a waste of time. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, and so that's the case, whether it's people that are, you know, you're hanging around with people that are not, like a lot of times, I don't know, this particular person asked us about this, but a lot of times, as you said, Judy, that people will say, why do I keep finding men like this? Mm-hmm. Why do I keep finding women like this? Mm-hmm. Like I keep having the same thing over and over again. Well, I know for me, I was one of those people because I was looking for a husband for many years. Mm-hmm. And every time I had dated a man who treated me really nice, I would dump him. Because why would some guy who was worthy of me, why would I like him if he liked me? Because if he was really worthy, he'd see what a piece of crap I was and wouldn't stay around, right?
Yeah,
I got myself coming and going. There was no way to win. But I would hang out with, I would like want to have real relationships with men if they liked me. You like me? Okay, I like you. Because I was so desperate for some man to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And so the men I picked were men that lived at that same level of consciousness that I was at. They were looking for me to make them feel better.
Yeah.
Right? And it never worked out, strangely enough. Right. And so that's kind of like the thing you have to see is that you've got to find a beautiful feeling and live in it. And then you will find people in your life to be part of that world who are already part of that world. Mm-hmm. You'll see them. They'll show up in your life. They'll come to you and your whole life will change, even though you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But getting afraid of other people, like somehow they have power over you. And if I hang around with you, you know, bad things are going to happen. Like that might come to you from your wisdom. You know, like if you're hanging around with somebody who's, you know, robbing banks or, you know, doing drugs or doing things like that, your wisdom might tell you, you need to like stay away from this person. They're, if you hang out with them, you'll be guilty by association in a sense. But You don't want to do it in order to be okay. It's backwards.
Yeah. It's like nobody can really make you worse than you are and nobody can make you better than you are. It's all coming from our own understanding and our own wisdom.
Yeah.
So in other words, I had, over the course of the years that I've been doing this work, I've had friends from the past come to me who were really in trouble. You know, mentally having difficulty. And they were still my friends, but they were coming to me because they wanted to understand how I changed. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to help them to see what it was that I saw. They weren't saying, well, what's wrong with you? You know, they were kind of saying, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with any of us, but we don't see it. If we need to change, we don't see it until we wake up. Until something, we get an insight about it and go like, oh, wait, you know, why am I wasting my time with this person?
Mm-hmm.
And So, you know, back to the mother that came to me and was asking, you know, she's just blaming all of her kids' problems on the fact that, you know, they had to move. She got divorced from an abusive man and they moved to a new neighborhood. And then he made friends with these kids that were not so hot and they were in trouble a lot and they were doing drugs. And our son was like that and he wasn't happy. And she blamed it all on herself and the fact that they had to move and that they made these terrible friends. And I mean, he's still going to the same school. So, you know, it's not like he couldn't have kept his old friends. And I said, you know, well, what's changed in your son's life? Well, she divorced his abusive father. So, you know, she thought that that was good because she got him out of that situation. But now he didn't have a male role model and he was a teenager. And he was kind of angry with his mother because she was always picking on him about his friends. And why didn't he do this? And why? Because she was now focusing all her attention on him because she no longer had to be worried about this guy. And she was having some trouble, obviously, adjusting to her new life and her new role and second guessing herself and worried about where she was going to get money and all of those things. And I said, you know, your life has got a lot of stress in it that it didn't have before. You know, the new stress. I would say, you know, because you're here at the counseling center, that you must be feeling insecure. There must be something that you think you need help with that you'd like to change in yourself or you wouldn't be coming here. And your son is probably experiencing the same thing. Like he had his life kind of organized and all of a sudden he's in a new house and a new neighborhood and new kids and a different mom. And I said, you know, sometimes for kids that much change in a very short time is upsetting. And so he's probably in a different state of mind. Mm-hmm. And she was so shocked. She said, well, what would that have to do with it? We're the same people. Mm-hmm. But you know, the truth is we're not. We are the same deep down. We're the same people we always are. We're born, you know, with the ability to think and to have our thinking appear real to us. Mm-hmm. But in different states of mind, we are not the same people. I'm sure that everybody can identify with the ideas that when you're down on yourself and you're having a bad day and you're insecure or you're upset about something and you look in the mirror, you know, you have a bad hair day, nothing looks right on you. You know, it's hard to get dressed and get going in the morning. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling great and you wake up thinking, oh, I can't wait to see what's going to happen today. And you're in a good state of mind, you just get dressed and go to work or mm-hmm. on with your life. And you're not standing in front of the mirror saying, oh God, I don't look good. I look terrible. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, it's very subtle, but we create the feeling state around us. You know, I went to a training one time where I was leading a training where there was two people that believed that they saw auras. And I mean, I don't see auras, so I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that people who do say they see them probably do see them. I don't know. I know it's scientifically possible to see them. But anyway, I never was interested in my aura. So this one woman comes up to me and she says, you have this really powerful aura. It's very impressive. But she said, you know, it's scaring me. And I said, why? She said, oh, well, mine is nothing like that. And I feel like I'm in the presence of somebody so much more powerful than I am. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, you know. And see, we can talk ourselves into thinking, oh, I don't deserve to be with this other person or to be friends, or I wouldn't even go and talk to that person because they're so much different from me. Like she was like, I had suggested we take a break and I just got a cup of coffee and sat down with her and her friend. And she was like, oh, I don't deserve to be sitting here with you in this aura. You know? I'm like, well, fortunately I can't see it. So let's just go on with our conversation. But honestly, we do trick ourselves with our own thinking about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we trick ourselves into thinking that that's why women get involved with. It's one of the things I told this woman, one of the reasons that you don't want to keep that thinking is that that's what gets you involved with men that don't treat you right. Mm-hmm. because you think that some man is going to make you feel better. And the hallmark of a lot of these abusive men is they're very sweet until they get you. And so you do feel better. I said, that's how pimps get prostitutes. You know, they treat them really nice until they don't. And she was shocked. She said, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened. I said, well, that's, you know, what you want to do is you and your son work together to learn about your states of mind and about how your thinking works and about how you can get tricked by your thinking about yourself and by insecurity. And that's why people have the friends they have, I think, is because they're not aware that if they don't like the life they're living and they wish they could live differently, but they don't have nice friends, it's because you got to take care of yourself first.
And, you know, sometimes you kind of, we're all born into a different level of consciousness, right? And so the family you're born into becomes like a level of consciousness as well. So it may be that living in negativity and violence and fear, a lot of fear, seems normal to you. And so when you go out in the world, you're looking for somebody that is different from that, but you're looking through the eyes of your own past. And so what you see are things that are familiar to you, and then like, oh, maybe this is it. And it looks like the outside world is going to somehow change that lack of positive feeling that you haven't been living in much. You know, like, you know it's there, which is why you're looking for it, but you're looking through your thoughts. And so what you're seeing is whatever you know up to that point. That's as good as it gets, right? That's as good as you know. And things that are different from that, you discard. Right. So the other thing you got to watch is, like, sometimes people will have lots of negative thinking about their friends. You know, and it may be that as your negative thinking drops away, your friends look better. You know, like, maybe you're not so picky about what they're doing. Maybe you see the truth in them. Like, I had a roommate in my 20s, and she's still one of my best friends in the world, Janet. And Janet was the most easygoing human being in the world. You know, she would go to work. She was an insurance adjuster, and she would go to work, come home at the end of the day, take a nap, do her nails, fix her hair, you know, put a mask on her face, you know, just kind of take care of herself, and then go to bed early and get up and go to work the next day. And we would go out to parties or clubs or whatever, and she was the life of the party. Everybody wanted to be around her, and she was drop dead gorgeous. So every man in the world was like drooling over her. And I'm like, well, why can't I do that? You know, like, what's wrong with me? And then I get into a way of what's wrong with me. And then that would become more real. And so I would do things to her. Like, I would tell her things like, oh, you shouldn't be taking naps. It's a sign you're depressed. And I would tell her that she should, like, listen to the news more, get more involved with politics, right? And she was not having it. She's such a good friend, man. She stuck with me. And she would have nothing to do with me. And when I brought up those things, it would be like, oh, like you, right? And she loved me, even though I was crazier than a fruitcake. And so when I started learning this, it was like, oh, I think I'll take a nap. And she would laugh at me. In fact, she told my teacher, Rick Suarez, she said, you know, everything that she used to bitch about me doing, now she's doing it. She's not listening to the news, and she's taking time off from work, and she's taking care of herself, you know, and she got such a kick out of that. But, you know, bless her heart, she just was born in this beautiful feeling and recognized how to live there and just lived her life accordingly. Yeah. And I don't know what happened to me along the way. Somehow I got really caught up with my insecure thinking. And I was living in a world where I was trying to find that feeling she had, but I couldn't even see it in her, right? Like, I saw what was wrong with her. So, you know, the other thing is, take a look at the people around you. You know, like, if obviously they're robbing banks, or they're killing people, or they're doing drugs, or, you know, they're living in what I would call a black collar world, you know, like, oh, okay, that tells you that's a level of consciousness. But if they're doing pretty good, you just don't think they're, you know, doing the right thing, or they're loving you enough, or maybe they have a little idiosyncrasy of things they do. It's like, take another look at them, because as you change, you will see people differently. People that look safe and familiar won't look safe and familiar anymore. And people that look like they're weird or too positive or whatever, you're going to be drawn to those people because your world is coming from you. Mm-hmm. Remember that your world comes from you. So when you change on the inside, the outside world must change. Now, for me, I was 35 before that happened, and I learned the principles when I was 30. And so it that attachment to men making me happy, being married, being the answer to my security, those thoughts, even though intellectually I knew they weren't true, mm-hmm. I was still looking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and then one day I thought, you know, Chris, you're totally happy just the way you are. Mm-hmm. And your life is totally fine. You're in this magical, mystical world with friends that are the most unbelievable people in the whole world. And you still are complaining about how you don't have a man in your life. And then I thought, you know, if a man comes along and he wants to live in that feeling, great. If he doesn't, I'm totally fine the way it is. Mm-hmm. And when I really saw that at a deep level, that's when my husband showed up in my life.
Huh.
Like within a month, actually, it was.
Yeah.
Now, I did have to put myself in Hawaii for that to happen. But nonetheless, you know, I did find then someone showed up in my life. And he wasn't the kind of person I thought would show up. He's not the kind of guy I was going to marry. You know, he had a lot of didn't fit the list of mm-hmm. things I was going to marry. By that time, I valued the feeling that he was living in. Yeah. I valued his openness to living in that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just never know what'll happen when you let go of it and stop trying. Mm-hmm. It's like your life will change and it will start to reflect that beautiful feeling that you're living in.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to put it, Chris, that some of your friends will start to look different to you. That I remember there used to be people that lived in a much nicer state of mind than I did, even though they weren't involved in the principles, who I thought were out of my reach. You know, I thought, oh, I can't hang around with them because I don't understand them, mm-hmm. you know, and they're living in some, I used to think it was because they had more money or something like that. I'd make up a reason that wasn't the reason. But it's so funny because when I went, I lived in Bradenton, Florida for almost, I don't know, I guess almost 20 years before I got involved in the principles. And then I moved out west, and then I moved to West Virginia. Then I moved back to Florida, and everybody was still there, mm-hmm. you know, that was still alive. And, the people that became my refriended me, put it that way, when I moved back, because of some of my friends gave a party for me, and the people that came and the people that I started to see again were the people that I used to think I couldn't be friends with.
Oh, wow.
It's really funny. And they were the ones I thought, oh, it was a big wake up to me, because I realized, yeah, they were happier than I was. Yeah. They were calmer than I was. And I thought they just, you know, lived so far above me that they were out of my reach.
Yeah.
And that wasn't true. It was just that I couldn't see, like your roommate, that story really got to me. Cause I thought, yeah, that's what happened to me when I went back.
Mm-hmm.
So people would say, well, wasn't it nice to you still have friends? And I said, well, actually, yeah, it is really nice. But the people that, you know, I used to hang around with all the time are not necessarily the ones I hang around with now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I still know them. But I see, you have to realize that we create our friendships.
Mm-hmm.
They don't create us.
Mm-hmm.
And we create friendships with people that we're comfortable with. And our comfort level is really a reflection of the state of mind that we're generally in, that we find normal. You know, there's always there's a range. Everybody has ups and downs, but there's kind of something that we would call pretty much our standard state of mind. Mm-hmm. And when that changes, you know, suddenly people look different to you and you look different to you.
Well, that's what people would call normal, right? Mm-hmm. It's like whatever your normal is kind of how you're just used to feeling mm-hmm. and the reality you're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. That's what normal is. So people say, I want to get back to normal. Well, for some people, no, I wouldn't want to do that. But what the principles offer us is the possibility of living in a reality we've never even imagined.
That's true.
And we're proof of that.
Right.
Because I never would have been able to live in that kind of a reality.
Yeah.
I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
And so you can't like think your way there because you don't know it exists. You have to let it evolve and let it come to you.
But don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
So our final advice is, you know, just live your life, you know, to keep learning and seeing deeper for yourself and then see what happens.
Yeah. Watch the magic happen. Let it happen.
So, well, thank you.
Aloha, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Yep. See you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.